This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. It's already looking like a loaded show tomorrow with Brian Ray, Marty Turco, Bruce Bochy. We're bringing the guests for tomorrow, but don't worry. We still have plenty more excellence today as well as we get ready for Rangers Yankees, which you can hear right here on 105 Through the Fan. Is the Yankee series still a big deal for you? Like, yep. Regardless of what the standings are, you're still like, God, I don't like the Yankees.
I won't. Now, I'll be very honest. The way that the New York fans are acting about sports right now is kind of driving me nuts. So I'm not really happy with. I don't like that, man. Don't throw things at people.
I get you. Okay, right now, we bring to you the man who knows everything about baseball. It is Rangers broadcaster Jared Sandler. Good morning, sir.
Guys, I got to let you know, I'm honored to be in the Mickey Spagnola 11 a.m. spot. This is a really coveted segment, and this is probably one of the greatest accomplishments of my career.
Because this is usually when you're listening to the program.
Yeah, this is his favorite time to listen.
Who don't know.
That's right, yeah.
What? I was curious about this, and I realize he just got up to AAA. But Alejandro Osuna, what have you seen from his progression in the minor leagues? Obviously, they just moved him up to AAA. And do you think he's somebody that can be on the big club for real this year?
Yeah, I do. The two position player prospects I've been asked about the most are Alejandro Osuna and Sebastian Walcott. And they're two very different cases. Whereas with Walcott, just given his age, he'd have to like totally bust down doors to get up to the big leagues. Now in spring training, the idea was that this would be one of the best lineups in baseball. Maybe they get to that point, but that's not where they're at right now. And so I think the thought was, well, it's going to be one of the best lineups in baseball. It's going to be tough to crack. But I still think that he's got to just dominate AA and then get up to AAA and be a very good player in AAA for it to even be a consideration this year. With Alejandro Osuna, he doesn't need to, like, lead AAA in X, Y, and Z categories. I think, you know, just from an age standpoint, an experience standpoint, it's a little bit different. And one of the funny things is with our schedule and their schedule, I don't get to watch Alejandro Osuna a ton, but you know, I'll talk to people and ask, you know, how's this guy doing? What are things looking like? Cause the box score doesn't always tell the full story, but one of the things that I love looking at is the plate discipline metrics. So chase rate, strikeout to walk rate, because those are things that if you're not able to lay off of bad pitches in AAA, you're definitely not laying off of bad pitches in the major leagues. And if you're not able to have some level of plate discipline in AAA, it's not getting better in the major leagues. And I'm a big believer that, especially for young hitters, the young hitters who do a good job of putting themselves in positions to succeed are the ones who are going to have easier transitions. And for a team that is competing, not a team that's rebuilding, I think that stuff's important. If the Rangers were the Rockies, who cares, right? It doesn't matter. Let him take his lumps if you feel like he's ready to take his lumps. But if the Rangers are calling up Alejandro Osuna at some point this year, our hope is that he's going to be joining a team that's competing for a playoff spot, a division, whatever it might be. And so I think back to Evan Carter. What is Evan Carter's best quality, or one of his best qualities, is his plate discipline and his pitch recognition. And that's why when he got called up, it made sense. Because this wasn't a guy who you really were worried was going to just be, you know, wild, wild west cowboy swinging at everything for a team that was trying to get back on the tracks in September of 2023. So that's something I like about Alejandro Osuna. He's got good plate discipline. He's able to get on base without necessarily getting hot with the bat. And that's a big reason why I do think we're going to see him at some point this year.
Now, you might hate this question, but you did mention Evan Carter, and It might have just been another fluky injury, or does the very real concern have to be that perhaps his body is not set up for the rigors of a Major League Baseball schedule?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and I wish it's obviously a hot topic, because this is a guy who 2 years ago, we were all talking about after 2023, let's give this guy an extension. Hey, this is the leadoff hitter of the future. He's going to be the center fielder of the future. All this stuff, right? And then last year was disappointing. Injury, you know, when he was healthy or when he was in the lineup, I don't know how healthy he was, but when he was in the lineup, the production wasn't there. And obviously, you know, he didn't stay in the lineup long because of the back stuff. I wish I had more of like an expertise to comment on this, or to like have like a valid opinion. All I can say is, just like you guys, I mean, it's fair to wonder, right? Now, I feel a little bit better that it's not the back.
Yeah.
You know, that, and are these things connected? You know, I don't know. But I do feel a little bit better that it's not the back. And I spoke to Evan. I mean, I'll tell you guys, Evan was supposed to join us for a fun segment on the pregame show. And then he, like, you know, we talked, he's like, hey, it might not be the best time. He's like, I think, you know, I'm going to be scratched from the lineup. This was before it all came out. And I was like, oh, you know, crap. Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I honestly feel great. But the thought was, in his mind at that time, this was on Saturday. He'd sit Saturday facing the lefty on Sunday. So he'd sit Sunday, off day Monday, he'd get 3 days, and then be ready to go today. But you know, whether it was just the need to get a fresh body, and the fact that the IL is only 10 days now, not 15 for a position player, or maybe things didn't check out as cleanly as they would have liked, I don't know. But I can tell you that he felt good, which is a good sign. But obviously there was something that said, no, you know, we need to sit him down. He's not ready to go. And yeah, it is a concern, because, you know, this guy, when he's healthy, as we've seen already this year, can help this team.
Yeah.
I want to look at New York a little bit this week, Jared. Obviously they're playing, so that's important. But those two pitchers that are pitching the last couple games in the series, Eovaldi and DeGrom, this is a stage for them. This is a great opportunity for us to see what they can do again. But the rest of the team has to be there for them.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think there are two things that are really disappointing about the Astros series. One, you know, you win the game, DeGrom pitches, and then you feel great. Eovaldi gives you 5 2/3 shutout, and you don't win that game, yeah. Right? You know, you feel like, especially when you're struggling offensively or trying to get in, you know, they're not struggling like they were a few weeks ago, but they're not, the consistency isn't there like you'd like it to be. You need to win those games. The other thing was that just the fact that the two losses come from behind wins for the Astros, blown leads for the Rangers, however you want to characterize it. And the Astros just, they're not, you know, the Rangers obviously are similar record as the Astros. They're a half game back with the Astros winning yesterday, but the Astros are not they're not what they were. And it should be a team that you start to take advantage of. The Yankees are not that group. The Yankees are, you know, a lot more talented.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
You get good starts from those guys, you got to take advantage, because you're not going to have many opportunities against the Yankees where four runs can win the game. And those guys put you in a position where that might be, you know, a realistic possibility. But yeah, it is, you know, Eovaldi obviously pitched for the Yankees. The big stage has never been an issue for him, and right. It's going to be cool for Jacob. I hope he pitches at Citi Field later this year when we go to New York in September to face the Mets. But it's going to be his first time pitching in New York since leaving. And so that'll be cool for him. And, you know, hopefully it's, you know, I know that will be meaningful for him, and hopefully he continues to do what he's been doing, which is, you know, pitching really well. Now, he has been the one guy who largely has gotten run support, even if it wasn't necessarily the case in his last start. But hopefully the bats can continue to score for him and everyone else, because it's tough when you look at how good this starting pitching's been and what the record is, obviously you feel like there have been some wins left on the table for sure.
Well, that was the next part of that with DeGrom. What are you seeing with him? Has he changed how he pitches, or is he his old self again? Because I feel like I'm seeing something a little different from him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's the exact same guy he was when he, you know, won back-to-back Cy Young Awards and was, you know, almost unanimously considered the most dominant pitcher in baseball. You know, there are certain metrical things, like, you know, the release point's a little bit different from a degree standpoint. His slider is getting ground balls at like a super high rate. I think the highest since maybe the second year of his career.
Wow.
It's just got a little bit of a different shape to it, and hitters are responding differently. And the other thing too, Corey, is, you know, when DeGrom won his Cy Youngs in, what was it, 18, 19, or I think it was 18, 19 or 17, 18. I get it confused. I think it was 18, 19. He was throwing a similar velocity to what he's throwing now with his fastball, but more guys are throwing that now. So 98 now is not what it was then.
Yeah.
That's not to say it's not good. I mean,
it's still great.
Look at the results. What's that?
It's still great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still great. But I think you see different behavior from hitters because it's not as much of an outlier. The word outlier is so huge when you talk to a lot of these pitching coaches and they're trying to find a little edge here or a margin there. It's all about outliers. You know, the split finger is an outlier pitch, or Hobie Milner's release point, that's an outlier release point. And it's just things that hitters don't see a lot of. You know, if the idea of it third time through, the advantage goes to the hitter, is not just some random like, oh, third time through. Yeah, of course. It's based on the fact that they have now seen the pitcher, that their stuff in that moment, that, you know, hour, 2 hour stretch is not as much of an outlier as it was first time, second time they faced them. Similar concept with pitching. So I think he's had to go about things differently, but I think what makes him so special is his command is so good that he is going to be a very good pitcher. And we have started to see over the last several starts the level of dominance you expect out of Jacob DeGrom, even if you're right, Corey, it doesn't look exactly like that Venn diagram. There's an overlap,
yeah,
but there are parts of each circle that are independent of one another, representing what he is now versus what he was 5-6 years ago.
What is going to happen with Chris Martin?
Well, that's a good question. We'll find out today. I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad that it was a shoulder this time, not the elbow. You know, it was the elbow a few days ago that led to the early exit against was a Colorado. And then the exit on Sunday was due to the shoulder. I'll tell you this again, not a doctor, but I feel like I've seen enough of this stuff to where it's a greater than zero chance that there is some sort of relation between the two.
Yeah.
Not, I'm not guaranteeing it, but I just got to believe that second time within a, what, 4 day stretch, 3 day stretch, where you leave after one pitch, I'd be surprised if he avoided an IL stint. Maybe he will. Maybe it's just another scare for an older guy who's got some mileage, but, the Rangers might also say, hey, let's nip this in the bud. It might not be super serious. Let's nip this in the bud. Let's sit you down for 15 days and let's get you back right, you know, on that mound, because they absolutely need him. They, you know, that guy's been so good for them. He and Robert Garcia, who I know gave up the home run to Paredes, but both those guys sub two ERAs this year, they have been so, so good. We always like to focus on the ninth inning, but you got to get there first. And with the amount of close games the Rangers have played, those guys have had a pitch in a lot of high leverage situations. And so, yeah, I don't know anything more than that, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a roster move, just if for no other reason to play it safe, but obviously bracing for the possibility that there is something that might warrant not just an IL stint, but maybe a little more time, you know, to sit down and get right.
Now, you were talking about the bullpen, and you know the nature of it. It's just like being a kicker in the NFL. When something bad happens, they're the worst. We got to get rid of them all and switch up the bullpen and everything like that. But, I mean, I feel like the numbers back this up. The bullpen has done a pretty darn good job this year, have they not?
Yeah, no, the bullpen has. And, again, you think about this bullpen has thrown more close game situation innings in the seventh, eighth, and ninth than a lot of bullpens, most bullpens. I know at one point it was more than any other bullpen, you know, games that are, have a margin of one run I think when the Rangers, like a couple weeks ago, I think they had like six more bullpen innings in those situations than anyone else. And that, I mean, that is a lot tougher than when you're pitching in a 5-run game, right? It's just, you know, common sense. And so, the bullpen has been really good. Now, is it fair to ask, hey, is this the bullpen? Is this the group that's going to carry us through the season? Are these guys in the roles that are going to remain, you know, from start to finish? I think that's a fair question, right? If you want to ask, hey, is Luke Jackson going to be the closer from start to finish? That's a fair question. I do think that one thing that, you know, the front office did was elevate, we've talked about it, elevate the floor of the bullpen. I mean, you look at guys like Sean Armstrong and Jacob Webb, Hobie Milner, guys who are not your top three, right? Your top three, it's been Garcia, Martin, Jackson, right? Those are the guys who they're going 7, 8, 9. But you look at the work of Webb, Armstrong, and Milner, I mean, the Rangers haven't had that in years. You know, guys who are outside of that top three who can pitch and leverage situations. And so the bullpen has definitely been really good. Have they given up some leads? Absolutely. But, you know, I go back to, I'll ask the question, how many of those leads have they given up where the Rangers have 7 runs on the board? Or are they giving up leads where the Rangers end the game scoring 3 runs or 2 runs or whatever it is? And at some point, the turning point, as Gavin Dawson likes to ask, might have been when the lead changed hands. But really, you take a step back and say, well, scored 3 runs, right? Let's do better. And let's not even put it in the hands of the bullpen to have to protect yet another 1-run lead. So I go back to that. I think this group has done a really nice job. Can they improve? Absolutely. Would I like to see Emiliano Teodo at some point? Yeah, I would. Robbie Ahlstrom? Yeah. Trade deadline? Probably going to be an area of acquisition. It is for every contending team, but this is a group that is way stronger than a group the Rangers have had in the bullpen for the last several years.
Hey, Jared, why did the Big 12 baseball championship get demoted?
Yeah, good question. Good question.
What happened? I miss?
It's being sent to the Texas Rangers spring training ballpark instead
of... Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes!
Oh, I had no idea. That's crazy. Did you guys know? I mean, I know you're asking, but do you guys know why?
No, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, I just know it's going to happen for next season, and it's been at Globe Life Field for what, like 4 years?
They might be moving the Katy Perry concert that weekend to there. You know, so that might be it.
No, you don't think that, do you?
I think that's what's going on.
All right, well, Jared, if you could investigate,
interesting,
why the conference tournament got demoted, we're really curious.
Yeah, that's sad stuff right there.
All right, thank you very much, Jared. You sound really sad. See you later.
Later, man.
There's Jared Sandler.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.